Amazing sounds of Aaron Martin, and the track was 2.5 acres from his new album Chautauqua, which is out now on the Preservation label, Sydney label, and available in all the all good record stores. That's the way I meant to say it. You're on FBI with Peter Hollow, and let's now listen to a in-depth conversation that I had with Aaron Martin a couple of weeks ago. We'll hear some of Aaron's music as well, although I'll hopefully not be playing music so loud that you can't hear him talk. So starting with something early from Aaron.
I was wondering, maybe first off, how long you've actually been making music for, because the first album sort of felt like you already had a really sort of mature sound to the sort of style of music, I guess, that you were making. And so I was wondering whether you'd been making music for quite some time before having it released as it was.
Yeah, I had been. When I first started playing music, like, I was around 11 or something, I just played guitar. But as I got older, I ended up getting a 4-track, and that was about, I don't know, maybe I was around 18 or 19. And so I had done a bunch of recordings before Almond. So I had like 4 or 5 CDs that were just stuff that I did on my own. Mm. And I went from 4-track to a 24-track digital recorder in that time. And then by the time I got to Almond, that was stuff that I ended up playing live. That was when I first started using loops, though.
Right.
Because I was playing that, I was using that to play live. Before that, the music was similar, but there weren't any actual loops in it. But yeah, I had done a bunch of recording before that, and I don't know, I've just always felt drawn to recording since I started doing it. It suits me.
Has some of that older stuff kind of made appearances on anywhere? I don't know, there'd been some net label releases and things as well, or has that generally been newer material?
I've used some of it. There was a tape that I had put out not too long ago. It was called Dead Teeth, and it was on this small U.S. label called Cabin 4 Esoterica, and that was all old recordings from my 4-track days.
Wow.
And I've had a couple things show up on compilations and stuff like that, but I don't know if there'll be any more because now I'm trying to focus on newer stuff. But here and there, some of that older stuff has found its way out.
Sure. Now, when you're, I mean, you play a lot of acoustic instruments, I guess, but are you looping them? Are you miking them up rather than sort of pick up on a cello kind of thing and looping that sound? I've seen a couple of little videos of you playing live, but I wasn't sure of how it was set up.
Yeah, when I record, it's more like just recording, you know, the separate parts and stuff like that. I don't do a lot of manipulation afterwards, but it's like, you know, sitting down and recording all the separate parts. Almond was a little bit different. I did some of those sitting down and, like, playing like I was playing live because I wanted them to sound that way.
Yeah.
But when I play live, I don't have a pickup or anything. I just use a condenser mic. And a lot of people have problems with that, with feedback and stuff, and it is a sensitive process. But I'll just use, like, a regular mic and I'll adjust it to wherever it needs to go for the next instrument. I'll use that for all of my different instruments, and then I also have an input for guitar. I'll use this roll-up piano thing for organ sounds.
Awesome.
And so that'll be plugged in there too for the stuff that needs to be plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically how I do it. It's a pretty natural process, but it is kind of worrisome because you worry about feedback and all that. But I've been pretty lucky.
And when you say natural, does it sort of come naturally to you? Is it something that you've spent a bit of time working on to make it flow naturally?
I think it's a combination of things. I think music comes really naturally to me because I don't know why. But especially when I'm recording, like, it's a really intense focus.
Mm.
Like, I'm kind of, you know, any extra parts that don't belong in there, that's a lot of what I spend my time doing, just paring things down so it's only what's essential and then adding from there. So it comes naturally, but it's like, and I think it's also because I kind of have OCD, so it's like an obsessive process, and that's why the recording suits me the best, because I'm, you know, obsessively working on something. And I won't move on until I feel good about it. But I also like to improvise, and there's a certain degree of spontaneity, too. It's not like, I'm not saying it's mechanical.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like an intense focus. I take, like, you know, I'm playing around something that will come naturally, and then just keep focusing that until I'm happy with it.
Yeah, and so when you play live, is it a matter of having arrangements that you're playing live, or is there some improvisation that goes into that as well?
Mostly, especially when I first started playing with a pedal, like, a lot of people thought it was improvise. Mm-hmm. But it kind of locks you in, and that's why when I'm recording, I've been trying on the past couple albums to break out of the loops, but when I'm playing live, you got certain constraints. But I will, pretty much everything is set, because if you make a mistake, then it can throw you off. But lately I've been doing little sections where I won't actually be looping, like I'll have a foundation that's set, but then I'll do something that's looser on top of that, that's semi-improvised, because I do like to do that, but I also don't like to make mistakes either, so
sure.
I like to have everything prepared and then allow for, you know, freedom at certain points, you know.
Mm.
But I think with my music, when it's just me, the spontaneous part is normally when I'm having an initial idea. So I'll be messing around with different ideas and different parts and just pick up instruments and play. But then I tend to like to prepare that and know what I'm doing. But I do like to play with other people and just have it completely improvised as well.
How often does that happen? I was going to ask you if you've sort of played in bands and played in that kind of setting. Is that more of a live thing, or I'm not sure if I know of recordings that where you've played with other people as such.
Yeah, there's only a couple, because most of the collaborations I've done have been long distance, like through the computer and all that. But
yeah,
there's some local musicians that live about an hour or so from me in Kansas City, Missouri. I live in Topeka, Kansas.
Right.
And Kansas City's about an hour away. There's like a little music scene that's developing there, and there's improvised music mostly. So I'll play with people. There's one guy that I played with, and he recorded under the name Cantus Firmus.
Okay.
And that was actually a release. It was a pretty small release. I was playing with him for a little while, and when we played live, it was pretty much completely improvised. And then there's another, well, it's basically just one guy, and he records under the name Expo 70, and he lives in Kansas City. And I've recorded with him a couple times, and I don't play live with him. But when they record, it's just like completely improvised, and you just feed off of each other. So I've done that a little bit, but there aren't any major releases like that or anything.
Yeah. Improv is I guess improv can come from various different worlds, but sort of maybe disregarding the sort of sounds of, I don't know, kitchen sounds and field recordings and things, the sort of musical world seems to be kind of folky Americana in some ways, and so I'm wondering if there's sort of a background there. I don't know whether a background in terms of the music you've grown up with, or sort of the music that you're coming from in terms of how you got to this sound.
I don't know. That's kind of not a complicated question, but I didn't. I don't really have a background in that type of music, but I do. When I was first just like exploring listening to music, like I do really like kind of like back porch, like really old folk music, playing a banjo on a porch or something like that. So I think some of that comes through, but I think mostly it comes through in the instrumentation.
Sure.
Because I use a lot of, you know, acoustic instruments, and I love to play banjo and stuff like that, and it's hard to, well, maybe not for me, but I think perception-wise, it's hard to separate instruments like that from the tradition. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
But I kind of just think of it as a blank slate. You know, I use the instruments to my purpose that I like the sound of. So I'm not really using a certain tradition as a way of stepping in, but like I said, it's hard not to avoid that tradition if you're playing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, now that's a really interesting perspective on it. There is, of course, the cello there as well, and there are some lovely passages in the the latest album, where there's this sort of, there seem to be multiple cellos doing, you know, lovely tremolo bits or sort of bits together and things. And so I was really interested to see that you actually started playing it quite late. I think you were 17 or something.
Yeah.
And did you have some lessons, or are you essentially self-taught on the instrument?
On cello, a lot of the instruments I'll just pick up and play, but cello, I thought I could do that.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite do that. So when I was 17, I started taking cello lessons just kind of on my own, with a private teacher. And then I was still in high school. And so my last year, after I'd only been playing for like 6 months, I got into the Youth Symphony in Topeka. And then from there, I went to, there's a college in Topeka, and I studied cello performance.
Okay.
So that's the one instrument that I do have a formal background in. Mm. But I think that the more that once I graduated, it was like, you know, since I started late, it was a good learning process, but it was pretty intense. And then once I had some skills, you know, basic skills, then I was able to start to use the cello the way I wanted to. I was able to do that with other instruments like guitar and things I'd been playing for a long time, but I was kind of, it took me a little while to be able to, you know, make the cello sound my own. So I think that that's something that's definitely grown, especially since I'm not so much in a formal environment anymore.
And were you already able to read music and things, I suppose, if you were playing in a symphony orchestra 6 months after you picked it up? But
as when I started to play the cello, I didn't know how to read music before that, but I had to learn.
Yeah, wow.
So that's when I learned. So yeah, I can read music, I can write music. I normally don't, like, I guess you could say the pieces are composed, but since I play everything, I won't write it down. But
yeah.
I have done compositions for, when I was in college, I did stuff for chamber groups and stuff like that, because that was always an interest of mine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was another thing I had to learn.
Yeah, for sure. No.
We're listening to Aaron Martin on FBI with Peter Hollow, and I was talking to him a couple of weeks ago. We've been hearing a whole lot about his music, and in the background at the moment, this is a track from his new album. This is called Branch Wheel. But back to chatting to Aaron.
It's interesting because I play cello as well, and I play sort of in a non-classical world, and I've never attempt to write this stuff down because it just doesn't seem even conducive to that mode of music, I guess, or musical discourse or something. The other element that's there, and I guess was there, I was listening back a bit to the previous albums, and I guess there have been some vocal elements from earlier on, but it seems a bit more prominent in the mix these days, and there'll be sections where you have sort of massed vocals and things. So again, is that an element that you've been becoming more confident with, or sort of wanting to bring more into the sound world?
I think that was just one area that I had never really explored, because I never liked to sing. Like, I hated it. But I like choral music, and I had to sing in the choir when I was studying music. It was like one of the groups that I had to be in, apart from the chamber groups and orchestra.
Yeah.
And so I have an interest in choral music, but I never liked to sing. And so it's just one of those things that I thought, well, I want to try it because I don't like it.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like just ease its way in the music, and I ended up using voice a lot, playing live lately, and then in more recent recordings. I can't say exactly why, other than it was an area that I hadn't explored before, and, you know, I'm always interested in exploring different textures and different ways of forming sound. So I don't know if it'll always be present, but right now it seems like it's just cropping up and it's a more prominent sound.
Mm-hmm. Now there are some, I guess, some occasions where there are some sort of recording techniques and I don't know, sort of little, I don't know if they're digital effects or just sort of edits and things. I think I hear some on that, the 3-inch on Under the Spire as well. So yeah, I'm not sure if that's something you're that interested in, but certainly it comes out also in those collaborations, like with Part-Timer, who I kind of know as well because he's based in Australia these days. So and I'm interested that also John has sent me the sort of second of the Part-Timer versus Aaron Martin material, which is the Under the Spire stuff remixed again. So do you enjoy these sorts of collaborations? Although I guess maybe they're not really collaborative in that you're just sort of sending your stuff off to someone else to have their way with. But yeah, is that something that you kind of want to continue doing as well?
Yeah, sure. I like interacting with other musicians at all levels. Mm. And I think, I think my parts kind of just lend themselves to the type of music that has been created with them. But yeah, I really enjoy it a lot. And I have liked working with John a lot because he's very skillful in manipulating the parts, but not beyond recognition, and then turning them into his own pieces of music. And I think that the Grass Wounds, the remix Grass Rewound is what I think he's calling it.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Like, I'm really glad that I sent him the parts because it wasn't on a whim, but like I'll send him new music of mine. And I was thinking, well, I just said, for this one, I can sing the separate parts too.
Mm.
And that's how it started. I'm really glad I did because I love what he did with the parts.
So last time, was he actually working off the final mixes the first time round or something?
What I'll do with him and with most parts that I'll send out, like this Grass Wounds was a little bit different because that was just a thing in itself. With the Seed Collection one that was on Mobir, the first Part-Timer one, I recorded those pieces specifically for him.
Okay.
But they were meant to be pieces on their own. And then I sent them with him in mind. So, you know, parts that I thought he could work with. With Grass Wounds, it was just already ready, and I had the idea to send him the parts. But I'll send him each separate wave file so that he can use whichever part that he wants, and then he just creates his own piece of music from that. So especially since there's tons of stuff going on in my music, there'll be parts that, you know, and little textures that you may not be able to hear, you know, intently without hearing them separately. So I like to do that. Just send people all the separate WAV files that I recorded, and they can use them however they want to.
Mm. Have there been times, maybe not necessarily, I don't think you have here, but where there's a bit of a back and forth, and you know, you'll take some sounds or some sort of manipulations from someone and incorporate them back into something yourself? And would you like to do that kind of thing as well?
I don't know. Like, that's happened a little bit. Like, I can't even think of a good example. Well, I guess the cello recycling, cello drowning, the type release that I did with Machina Fabrique, the second side of that 10-inch cello drowning is when then he sent me back cello recycling, and then I recycled it and, you know, processed it or whatever. But it's like I just don't feel as comfortable processing sound because I like to have to work in a relatively natural way. And I think that that's why that hasn't happened as much, and that normally I'll be the one to send the parts out and then another person will manipulate them, because like when I'm recording my albums, I'll rarely even use effects. On Grass Wounds, I use some effects, but like on Chautauqua, on the new album, yep, there's loops and stuff, but there's not even reverb or delay or anything like that. Mm. So, I don't know. It may be something that I get into later, but when I'm recording my music, I tend to just think about it, recording the instruments and not manipulating the parts.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's a... I guess it's just an aesthetic, and you've got to kind of, you know, if that's your aesthetic, then that's sort of how it works for you. And I can see that loop pedals kind of come across a bit differently. So the live thing is, do you kind of, I guess, set out to maybe tour or play when a new album comes out? You know, as opposed to, I guess, just sort of playing gigs when they come up. Is there some aspect of that going on at the moment?
Yeah, because I feel like when I play live, I have more limitations.
Mm.
And I don't feel so much like a performer, you know. I feel more like a writer or something that sits in a room by himself and like creates something and then sends it out when it's ready. So I kind of have a back and forth relationship about playing live in general. But I do think that it's good to play shows, and, you know, I do have a process that there are limitations, but I feel pretty good about. But I'm kind of picky about what I'll play. So yeah,
okay,
if a new album comes out and, you know, I think that's a good time to play some shows, but and I think it would be nice to do some type of tour, even a small U.S. tour, just to see how it's like. But I don't really have the mentality like a rock band or something, you know, just tour to death, because shows are weird like that. You don't know if anybody's going to be there. It takes me a lot of time to get a set together because there's so many parts I have to have them memorized and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that my energy is best spent recording for the most part, but it's still good to play live, and I like it to an extent.
Aaron Martin talking to me a couple of weeks ago on FBI. You're listening to Utility Fog with Peter Holler. Aaron Martin's new album is out now on the Preservation label, and he has two other albums on Preservation as well. The new one's called Chautauqua, and previously he had River Water and Almond, and they're all really beautiful. He's also had a few other releases around the place, like not very long ago, earlier this year, there was Grass Wounds, which is on the Under the Spire label, and as we were talking about Aaron Martin versus Part-Timer, the Grass Rewound, that's what it's going to be called, EP is going to be out soon on Under the Spire as well, so that's Part-Timer, I guess, remixing those Aaron Martin tracks. Finally, the other Aaron Martin track, which is available soon in Australia, and by soon I mean who knows when, but whenever it is possible for the Sound and Fury label to put out the next couple of 7-inches in the Passeradai series, Aaron Martin is going to have a track on one of those, and I'm lucky enough to have recorded the track that's going on the flip side of that 7-inch. Adam D. Mills, who runs Sound and Fury, has sent me a copy of Aaron Martin's track for the fourth Passeradai 7-inch, and it's a really beautiful tune called Burl, and so exclusively for you tonight, I'm going to play you that track. This is the last Aaron Martin we're going to hear for tonight on Utility Fog.